Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
All right, good afternoon. It is Sunday, October 6th. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I am Dana Barrett, and with me today in the studio, producer Mike Roy.
Oh, hi there.
Hi. And we have Joey here with us today, too, so I can sense some trouble.
Hello.
Going to happen in the studio today. Two against one. Two on the producer side and one over
or
here.
Or even two of us facing you, so it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have... I don't know.
It's going to be interesting. We'll see if you guys can behave yourselves. I know I can't. So, you know, it's going to be a fun show. The number here in the studio, if you want to give us a call, 404-231-1190. And as Mike likes to always point out, that proves we are actually live. I've said the date, I've said the time, and I've given you the phone number.
You see, I've said that enough. I hope people would have figured it out by now. But, of course, you had to say it yourself because you don't give our audience enough credit.
Oh. We're going to start off on a bad foot, I can see. But you know
what? No, 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 no.
We also like to take your comments on Twitter at Dana H. Barrett, or you can just use the hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio. As always, we've got some great clips coming up from some of the Business Radio X shows that occurred this week. And I've got some headlines to cover for you. And I have, you know what, Mike, a lot of things upset me this week. So this might just be one long soapbox. I can't promise. A lot of things. But before I get to my angst and my anxiety and my upsetness, I have a couple things to just update you on. First of all, in the middle of the week this week, I got to go down to the Krog Street Market, which is a project that is being done by Paces Properties, and it is in development. It will open spring of 2014, so they haven't pinned down a date yet. But coming spring of 2014, this Krog Street Market is going to open. If you're not an in-town person, I will tell you kind of vaguely where it is. It's in Inman Park. It's sort of on, it's on Krog Street between Edgewood and Irwin. And so if you're coming from the burbs and you want to check this out, which don't do it now, wait till spring. But it's really like two turns off of the highway. So it's pretty easy to get to. And it's going to be really cool. It's in the old Stoveworks building, which is a really old building, and they're completely renovating it. And it's going to be this really cool market where you walk down through this big building. It's this huge cavernous building, and there are stalls on both sides, and there are going to be some really great restaurants there. Ford Fry's doing a new concept there. Kevin Utz is doing a new restaurant there. And so if you're a foodie, this is going to be the place to go. They're going to have some retail as well, but they don't have that pinned down yet. Anyway, I got to walk through it. As a member of the media, which was kind of fun, I got to pretend I was special, you know.
Celebrity.
Yeah, well, you know, I had interviewed the guys from Paces Properties on a Business Radio X a couple of months ago. David Cochran and Merritt Lancaster are two of the principals of Paces Properties, and they're great guys, and they really have incredible vision. And so they spend a lot of time trying to convince other people to see what they see. And they do these great projects. If you know the Vinings Jubilee, that's their project. One of the things they really get is making parking easy for people so that you don't have to either A, be scared because you're parking somewhere sketchy and far away, but also the convenience of not feeling like you have to park a million miles away. I mean, every time I have to go to Lenox Mall, I think through to myself, do I really want to go through the trouble of parking a bajillion miles away from the one store that I'm trying to get to?
You're not alone on that one, because you can definitely park in some dangerous areas, and it gives you some angst.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, so these guys seem to really have that under control, and so keep your eyes out for more news, and of course we'll keep you updated right here on Week in Review about...
self-plug.
Always about Krog Street Market. So anyway, check that out. You can look it up online and see what restaurants are coming in. A lot of really good stuff. I got to taste some of the food from some of the vendors that are going to be there. I had one of the places is actually an existing restaurant. I think it's on Buford Highway called, I think it's Goo Dumplings, Goo or Q or something like that. It's a two-letter word. Anyway, they had the most amazing Asian food. They did something with tofu that I don't know how they did it. It tasted like meat. It was delicious. I mean, the consistency, everything. So anyway, go online, KrogStreetMarket.com, I believe is the website, and check that out. All right, moving on, I want to talk about movies because, you know, we like to cover all topics here. And I got an opportunity this week to see a preview of a movie that's coming out October 18th. It's called The Fifth Estate, and it's kind of, it's about the Julian Assange WikiLeaks story. So it was a really interesting movie. I highly recommend it. This is my very official review, you know. But here's, first of all, I want to say this, and I might have to say this multiple times throughout the show. The movie stars Benedict Cumberbatch. Do you guys know him?
No, but well, that's an interesting name.
The thing is, well, that's why I might have to say it over and over again throughout the show, because it's just really fun to say Benedict Cumberbatch. Everybody out there in the listening audience, start saying that at home. I'm telling you, it's addictive. Anyway, he has literally been in everything. He was in the most recent Star Trek, if you saw that. He's in the Hobbit movies. He was Sherlock in the Sherlock Holmes in the BBC Sherlock TV show. He's come in that new movie coming out, 12 Years a Slave, with Brad Pitt. He's in that. He's in the new movie coming out with Meryl Streep. It's called August in Osage County, something like that. He's in everything. This guy has, like, hit it. He has, but he's, like, quietly hit it. Like, you guys never heard of him, but I'm telling you, you'd recognize him. Anyway, he plays Julian Assange in this movie, The Fifth Estate. A really interesting movie about WikiLeaks. One of those movies where you walk out and you start talking about, okay, well, is it okay for people to leak this information? Is it not okay for people to leak this information? You know, do we have a right to know everything? Do we not? What's the difference between, you know, security and freedom of knowledge, freedom of speech? You know, so it's a very interesting movie, and I highly recommend it. Also, this weekend, I went to see Gravity with Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. The smallest cast in a movie ever made, I believe. Now, I can't, that's probably not true, but we're just going to pretend. There might be a movie with only one person. But even the one with Tom Hanks, Castaway, had people in it, because there were people at the beginning and there were people at the end. This one, two people. That's it. You only ever saw Sandra Bullock and George Clooney, and you didn't even see George Clooney for that long. So, oh, I guess that gives something away. Sorry. But, I mean, I think if you've read anything about the movie, you know it's really all about Sandra Bullock, and it was really, really, really good. I was really skeptical, because I was like, oh, I don't watch one movie of somebody, like, emoting. I don't really care. But the truth is, it was really well done. The special effects were amazing. She did a great job. I recommend that one, too. So go to the movies, people. Help support the entertainment industry.
Dana Barrett, movie critic.
Yeah, exactly. Who knew that's what we were going to do today? But you know what? I couldn't help it. All right, let's get to the first clip. This first clip that I have for you from Business Radio X comes from a show that I host, actually, during the week. It's called Good Morning Atlanta. It's on Wednesdays. And the reason I wanted to air this one in particular this week is... because it was about customers as brands, thinking about individuals as brands instead of individuals. And I just thought it was really interesting. It was my guests this week were two guys from a company called Workshop 4, which is what they call a brand-to-brand marketing communications company. And I had on Andrew Keenan and Charles Willi, who are two of the partners in that company. And this is a clip of both of them talking about customers as brands. So check it out.
I would say give your consumers more credit than you probably are giving them now. If you treat them as brands, which they're treating themselves that way, whether they're creating their brands subconsciously or actively, your consumers have a lot more to offer you than just their dollars. They can really help your business communicate. They can offer new insights on products and services, processes. They can bring you other customers.
Yeah.
And they can give you insights that you would get no other way.
Yeah.
And I think it's if you do that research, really it's the bargain of the century in terms of marketing communications. You can spend lots more money on, you know, billboards, ads, direct mail, radio, television, and all of that, but the big value is in research.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, research,
upfront
research. I like it. Not being reactive.
Exactly.
Proactive. Andrew?
I would say look at all the ways that consumers are going to learn about you,
yeah,
right? And make it easy for them. So, you know, it's the little details. You know, what does your website look like on a smartphone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
How many websites do you go to and you go, oh, my God. You know,
or
this
just
is
funny things. Like, I've gone to websites on my iPad and you click something and the link doesn't work on an iPad or an iPhone.
Right,
you know?
Because of Flash and right.
Do your listeners understand that 40% now of all transactions are handled over a smartphone?
Yeah, mobile.
40% of transactions.
Amazing.
So if your transactions aren't easy to do on a mobile phone, you're missing out.
So again, that was from the Good Morning Atlanta show. You can listen to that entire interview at goodmorningatlanta.businessradiox.com. And again, first, some really interesting things in that interview. First of all, 40% of transactions are now happening over a mobile phone, which is like amazing. And one of the things that Charles went on to say is that if you think about it, there is a large population who don't even have computers, but they have mobile phones. And so they're using them to do everything. That is their way to get to the internet. So pretty interesting. And if you're, you know, growing your business or thinking about your business or your website or whatever, having it work mobile is hugely important. And of course, again, like I said earlier, the reason I really wanted to talk about it is just thinking about customers as brands. What that really means and what they were really saying is we, the consumer, have more power than we've ever had before. We don't just vote with our dollars now. We vote with our fingers as we are typing and blogging and complaining on Yelp and, you know, tweeting and Facebooking and whatever else. So these brands really need to leverage consumers. And it's one of the most frustrating things for me, and I've talked about it on the show many times, when a company spends a bajillion, that's a very technical term, dollars, on advertising, and they have these great ads, and then you call their customer service line and you can't get through, or you get somebody who doesn't understand what you're saying, or they won't cut you a break on something. Yet, you know, they waste all this money on commercials. All right, well, speaking of commercials, we're going to take a quick break right now. We'll be right back.
Meteorologist Aaron Williams. Get your complete forecast right here on Biz 1190, where we're always right on the money. Biz 1190 presents A Night with Donald Rumsfeld.
The American people do not want to see their government turned against them. That is wrong.
Here's your chance to get Rumsfeld's insights on leadership, politics, business, war, and life. Hosted by Biz 1190's own John Ransom.
They're not acting like leaders. We need somebody in charge.
Reserve your seat today for an evening with Donald Rumsfeld. November 18th at the Atlanta History Museum. Details and tickets on sale now at biz1190.com.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
This is Hugh Hewitt for the townhall.com Weekend Journal. The shutdown they said they wanted to avoid is here, so Majority Leader Reid inflates his rhetoric to blame Republicans.
Understand we're dealing with anarchists. They hate government.
All this and more. Don't miss it. Fast, engaging, insightful. The townhall.com Weekend Journal.
Don't miss the townhall.com Weekend Journal. Sunday mornings at 7, right here on Biz 1190. Always right on the money. Your source for financial news. This is Biz 1190.
All right, welcome back. This is still the Business Radio X.
We haven't changed
no,
yet.
Still the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm still Dana Barrett. Mike Roy over there. Still,
I'm still Mike Roy, and I always
trouble.
Have been. Oh,
always.
Just
always.
Because I'm saying my name, I'm causing trouble.
That's right. Shameless self-plug over there. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about, you know, consumers as brands, and you know, one of the things I asked those guys is, you know, what does that really mean? It's mostly subconscious. It's sort of, you know, we as human beings in modern America, let's say, and really probably throughout a lot of the Western world, we have been sort of crafting our own image and our own brand long before the internet came along, right? Whatever clothing you chose to wear, whatever hairstyle you chose to have, whatever car you chose to drive, the place you chose to live, all those things sort of reflect who you are. And brands, corporate brands, have been doing a lot over the years to try to find you and figure out who you are. And in a large way, it was always through demographics, right? So it was just about your age, your race, you know, male or female, And maybe where you live, how much money you earn, some things like that. Well, I think what we've come to realize is that the same person who may be black and live on one side of town is going to like the same music as, you know, a 55-year-old white woman, and maybe they both want the same kind of sneakers or the same kind of car, and why, right? What are their other interests? What else about them? And all those things sort of make up your brand, all the things you like, your music choices, your movie choices, your friends, how you spend your free time, you know, your politics, all of that. And the thing about it now is that you can see it all online, on Facebook and on Twitter. You can figure out sort of what a consumer's brand is, or what an individual's brand is. And so it's much more complex for marketers, but also much more interesting than just marketing to like young white guys or, you know, old black women or whatever, right? I mean, it's just much more interesting. So, and challenging. And so while we're talking about brands, this is going to be the worst segue of all time. But I have two news stories that I caught this week that I want to share with you about old and sort of stable brands that we've kind of known and loved our whole lives that are kind of doing some interesting things. And the first one is IHOP. I mean, there's probably one of the first companies that had an acronym, IHOP. Everybody knows what IHOP is, and everybody loves a pancake. Who doesn't love a pancake? Well, now IHOP is opening at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And you will now be able to, they'll be in the main concourse, and you'll be able to go there and get some pancakes while you're in the midst of your potentially long travel day, right? Which is pretty cool. And they're actually going to start hopefully rolling those out to some other airports as well. So I just thought that was cool. One of the things I really like to talk about, and this segment is going to be all, you know, about companies that are staying current and doing interesting things instead of just going the way of the dinosaur like Blockbuster, right?
Yeah.
The other one I thought was kind of interesting is a Norcross company, and this is a Georgia story, which is why I brought it up. A Norcross company has bought the Harlem Globetrotters. There's a really long-lived brand, too. You know, the Harlem Globetrotters have been around for a long time. I don't really know how long, but I'm not that young, and I remember them from when I was little. Here it is in the story. Okay, founded in 1926. So, I mean, they're almost a 100-year-old brand. And they are such an interesting brand because they, at least to my knowledge, have always been squeaky clean, which is hard to do, you know, to never really make a misstep. And they seem to have done it. But I just find it a little bit funny that they're now the Harlem Globetrotters, Harlem, that's in New York, is going to be owned by Norcross Georgia Company. Anyway, maybe they'll come here more often and we'll get to see. I haven't seen them since I was a kid.
I've never seen them, so I hope that they'll come down here.
But you know what they are, right? I mean, you know exactly what they do.
Of course.
Everybody does.
Yes.
It's just kind of one of those interesting things. You've seen them on TV or here or there. Everybody kind of knows who they are and what they do, and they've been around forever, and it's still entertaining without CGI, you know, without any kind of modern techno pirate fire, whatever. It's just still fun and interesting, and kids love it, and, you know, I think it's great that they continue to move on and live on, and, you know, a company in Norcross has bought them. Okay, I want to segue this into the next clip because it's also about a company that is really staying current and doing it quietly. They're not out there yelling and screaming about what they're doing, but this is from our Gwinnett Business Radio show, which airs on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 a.m., and you can hear more of this interview on gwinnettbusinessradio.businessradiox.com. The show is hosted by Mike Salmon and Stephen Julian, and their guest this week was Susan Johnson, who is the VP of Global Marketing for NCR. Another acronym most people know, National Cash Register. But they do all kinds of things you never would have realized they do. So I want you to listen to this clip, and then we'll talk about it.
So we just launched a 4-year partnership between the Atlanta Falcons and NCR to help transform the fan experience. So to make the experience on game day much better for fans. So we're starting, and we're going to do this with technology. So we're starting with the Falcons merchandise, the gear. So we're making it easier than ever for fans to get their gear, get back to their seats. They don't have to miss any action while at the game. The technology now is throughout the Georgia Dome and also in the executive suites.
Okay, so explain that a little bit more. I mean, let's wrap our arms around that. How does it help them, you know, maybe stay in their seats longer where they don't have to go and actually go get the gear? How does that work?
Because Mike has a lot of experience of messing up transactions and you know, having his... Well, we won't go any farther than that. Right, Mike? I mean, you want to get back to your seat quickly.
Absolutely. You paid the money to see the team perform.
Exactly.
So now the technology is there where you can do some things from, I guess, from the comfort of your seat?
Yeah, from the comfort of your seat or via kiosk. So, you know, you've probably been in a game and you want to buy some merch. You want to buy a hat or you want to buy a jersey or your favorite player made a play and you want to get that jersey. But you don't want to get out of your seat because you don't want to miss the action, right?
Well, so typically you have your kids there and like,
right,
I want a shirt.
Right,
I
I want a foam finger. Right.
Exactly. So we have the Netkey Endless Aisle kiosk, so self-serve kiosks around the dome where you can, it's a large touchscreen and you can order, you can browse the merchandise, find the sizes, and then all you have to do is go to the register and pick it up. So basically, you can jump the line. You can jump the line. Nobody can get angry with you. You've used technology to jump the line. You can get right back to your seat. As well, in the executive suites, we will have mobile ordering. So in the executive suites, are all equipped now. So you can, from the comfort of your seat, while you're in the suite, order, and then the merchandise is delivered to you at your suite.
All right, again, that was an interview that occurred this week on Gwinnett Business Radio. You can hear it at gwinnettbusinessradio.businessradiox.com. But the thing that I thought was really cool about it is she was talking there all about, you know, this technology they're going to have at the Falcon Stadium, the Georgia Dome for now, and then the new stadium when it comes to pass. But they also do things like, and she talks about this earlier in the interview, they do the technology for the mobile boarding passes that you see at the airport. They also do the grocery store self-checkout technology. So they're really watching technology and seeing what's happening and seeing what customers want, and they're finding a way to do it and to stay relevant and stay current. I mean, NCR, National Cash Register, says it all. These guys started when there was no technology. I mean, you know, the cash register was like a little push-button thing that did one task, and they stayed current. And they're a huge company, and they happen to be based in Gwinnett County, which is pretty cool. But anyway, I just love companies that are doing that. I just want to applaud them as much as possible. And I, you know, if you're even in a small business, I think it's really, really hugely important to keep your eye on the ball, you know, because things change, people's needs change, desires change. And if you don't stay with it, you turn into Blockbuster. I mean, where did they go? Gone. Bye-bye. See ya. And plenty of people are still watching movies and paying for it, right? So they missed the boat altogether. Before we leave that, the Falcons altogether, I do want to mention, I know we talked a lot about the Falcons' new site quite a bit on this show. Probably it's been a month since we've mentioned it,
right?
Because there was sort of nothing in the headlines for a while. They had that deadline of, I think it was October 1st, and now it is official. The Atlanta Falcons are making that south site. If you remember, there were two sites we talked about. One was a quote-unquote north, and one was south. The south site is the one that the mayor wanted. It's the one with better access to public transportation and all of that. And it was the one where there were two churches that were sort of standing a little bit in the way of the deal happening. Because, and I don't mean to call them out, you know, they have every right to try to get as much money for their land as they can. But the deal just wasn't happening. Well, it has happened. Both churches have come to an agreement to have their land purchased, and the south site is now official. So, you know, watch out for building to begin. I think the final design will be completed spring of this year. I'm not sure exactly when construction will begin, but the new stadium is scheduled to be open in spring of 2017.
So are the churches have given up their land? Is that the deal?
For quite a bit of money.
Obviously, but that was the issue,
yes,
that we were talking about?
Yeah, okay. They both were, without those two pieces of property, the stadium just couldn't go there. And so both of those pieces of property now have agreed to sell and are looking, you know, for alternative sites. And I guess I don't know how much time they have to build their new sites or buy new places or whatever they have to do because they're not closing, they're moving.
And it seems like they have a decent amount of time as well, because you mentioned it's not until 2017.
Right, although I don't know when construction will begin. But maybe it starts in 2015. So
no, you're probably right.
They still have some time. And I'm sure that was all part of the deal. So we don't have to worry. I think they're all going to be okay. On that note, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
This is Biz 1190.
The concept of having annuities as part of your investment strategy isn't as simple as it sounds. You need to be informed about the options annuities may provide and where they may fit in your broader investment strategy. Do you really understand the role annuities play in your portfolio? RJL Wealth Management is introducing Annuity Double Check, a free consultation to review the annuities you own or may be considering. If you're unsure about benefits, risks, or fees of your fixed, indexed, immediate, or variable annuity, schedule a complimentary double check. Contact an RJL Wealth Management advisor at 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150, or go to annuitydoublecheck.com.
Annuities are long-term investments designed for retirement purposes and contain fees and other provisions which vary by product, issuer, and state. Before investing in a variable annuity, you should carefully consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The prospectuses for the annuity and underlying funds contain this and other information. Contact your financial advisor for a copy and read it carefully. Securities offered through Lucia Securities, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, and affiliate of RJL Wealth Management, LLC.
Hi, folks. This is Alan Thicke. I was the dad on a show called Growing Pains, and like all TV dads, I had to teach the kids about handling money. So here goes. If you were ever to find yourself owing the IRS $10,000 or more, you could be looking at wage garnishments, liens, bank levies. You might even lose your home or business. Not good. That's why I'd tell you to call the people at Optima Tax Relief, because there's a new tax debt forgiveness program just announced by the IRS called the Fresh Start Initiative. By calling Optima, you can jump on one of the biggest breaks the IRS has offered in ages. It's huge. You could qualify for a settlement that's 75% lower than before these changes. They're A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, and they even offer a money-back guarantee. Trust me, kids. You can trust these guys.
Call 800-711-5743. That's 800-711-5743. 800-711-5743. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment.
It was a moment that changed my life.
We looked down from the chopper and saw the whole area was flooded.
At that moment, it really hit me. This is why I joined the Guard.
People had gone up to the rooftops to escape the rising waters.
Talk about intense moments. We had to lower the guys online some 30 feet down.
This is where teamwork and training really paid off.
It took steady nerves and steady hands for the chopper pilots to hover like that.
No question. Guard pilots are the best in the world.
I couldn't believe it. I just saved a life.
What could be better than serving the people of my hometown?
In the National Guard, you serve your community as well as your country. While you work or attend college, in return, you gain skills in which you can build a career and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Learn more about what it means to be a citizen soldier at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Georgia National Guard. Aired by the Georgia Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Biz 1190. Weather.
Mostly cloudy this afternoon with a shower or thunderstorm around, high 83. We'll see a steadier rain develop tonight that can be heavy at times. That may lead to some flooding of low-lying and poor drainage areas. Tonight's low down to 59. A lingering shower or thunderstorm at spots early tomorrow morning. The clouds will give way to some sun. It will not be as warm tomorrow, high 73. Mostly sunny and pleasant for Tuesday, a high of 75. And then a mix of clouds and sunshine for Wednesday and Thursday, high each day 74. I'm AccuWeather Meteorologist Brian Thompson for Biz 1190.
All right, welcome back to the Business Radio X Week in Review here on 1190 AM. You can call us here, 404-231-1190, tweet us at using the hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio, or you can just tweet me directly at Dana H. Barrett. And you might want to in these next two segments, because usually I reserve my soapbox for the very last segment of the show, but you know what?
She's having trouble containing it.
I am so fired up about a couple of things this week, that and one of them actually works really well with the clip I have planned for you from businessradiox.com. So I'm going to tie it all together as best I can. So we'll see how I can really bring all this together. But first of all, you know, for those of you who've been listening, you know that I'm sort of into reading all these business books, and I sort of got into it a couple months ago, and I've just been like plowing through all these business books. And the one I'm reading right now, and they're not all business, but sort of business related. And so right now I'm reading Lynchpin by Seth Godin, who I'm a huge fan of. Last week we didn't, I don't think I referred to him directly, but I talked about the difference between being a talker and a doer. And if you remember, we played that clip last week about the popcorn company. And I was sort of like, you know what, these guys, they are doing something. You might think it's silly, but it's, they're doing it, you know?
That sounds wonderful, by the way.
Oh my God.
I remember that from last week, and yeah. I need to check it out. It sounds just incredible.
Delicious. And the thing is, Seth Godin is all about being a doer, right? He is always talking about just taking action and getting out there and doing something. And if you fail, you fail. It doesn't matter. I mean, the fact is that if you're sitting at home and talking about it, that is the same as being a failure because you didn't do it. You didn't get it done. He's always talking about shipping. He's talking about doing. And I'm all about that. And he talks about our internal struggle in the book Lynchpin, which I highly recommend, between our own genius, and I'm doing the air quotes, genius, and our lizard brain, he calls it, or the resistance. You know, that's the part of you that says, Joe, check your email one more time. Oh, let's go on Facebook for a few minutes instead of actually doing something, right? We all do it. And he admits he does it too, right? He also has a lot of really interesting ideas. Like he says, you shouldn't have a resume. That, you know, to be a linchpin, to be, you know, creative, you don't need a resume. A resume is just going to give a company an excuse not to hire you. What you really need is letters of recommendation from people who like your work. And what you really need is a project you can show to future employers, right? Really interesting stuff. Anyway, one of the things that he says, and Joey kind of said something about this before we went on the air, and that's why I said he was going to like the show, is that, you know, there are most of us in our jobs are what he calls factory workers. We just do what we're told, and we do it to fit in and so that we don't get fired and so that we don't get in trouble. And this happens, as Joey mentioned, in college, right? You know, you're in college and you do what the professors ask. You don't step out of line, right? You do what you're told and you get through. And if you're learning something, great. And if you're not, oh, well, you'll figure it out later when you get into your real job, right? And so this is true in lots of companies as well. It's not just colleges where that happens. It happens all the time. And it sort of came out of the industrial age. But prior to that, it's not how it was. And we have all grown up in the industrial or post-industrial age. And so we're used to this. We're used to, and we think that's what we're supposed to do. That's how we're raised. You do what you're told. You respect your teachers. You do what you're told. You follow, you do the assignment. You turn it in on time and you please the teacher. You know, you don't say anything too crazy in your papers that you're filling, you're doing. And, you know, he suggests, no, that you should be stepping out. You should be, you know, taking a chance, taking on a project that no one asked you to do, bringing your creativity to work. And he talks about the difference between artists and factory workers. And I'm probably not getting this exactly right, but what he's essentially saying is, if you can, for example, play a piece of music, that doesn't make you an artist. It makes you a musician, perhaps, but not an artist. Unless you're out there creating new music, or taking old music and reshaping it in some new way or something like that, you're not really an artist. You're just somebody who learned to play the notes. That's not the same.
It's interesting because I never thought about that before, that comparison, but you're right. That's an interesting thing to say.
It really is interesting, and it's so going to bring me to this clip and that I want to share with you. This clip is from a live event that Business Radio X did at the CEO Council. This was for our show that's called Booth 61, and the clip has a lot of background noise because it was at a live event, so please bear with me because I really wanted you to hear this. The host is Ricky Steele. His guest is a guy named Professor Thad Starner, who is the founder and director of the Contextual Computing Group at Georgia Tech's College of Computing, and he's talking about this new technology, so take a listen to this.
Have you ever tried to learn a musical instrument but basically couldn't because you didn't have the time to practice? Well, imagine if I could give you a glove where you can actually get the muscle memory of how to play a piano piece without having to pay attention to it. In other words, you know, you put on this glove, you load up your cell phone with whatever song you want to learn, say Amazing Grace. Then throughout the day, it sits there and plays the music you want to learn in your earbuds or in your Bluetooth headset. And then as each note is played, it taps the finger using a little vibrator motor. It taps the finger that would be responsible for playing that note on the piano. And it turns out that over, say, you know, lunch, or over, you know, reading your email or having a conversation or a business meeting, you sort of get the muscle memory of how to play that song. This is stunning. We've never seen stuff in the literature before where you get this complex mechanical knowledge transferred to you without your active attention. So that was a great surprise. We've done this experiment like six different times on two different continents with three different sets of grad students. And what's exciting is that you don't even need the music for it to work. Our results are the same whether or not you're playing the music in the headset or you're just getting the taps on the fingers. And somehow the taps on your fingers give you the sort of sense of which finger to do next and which note goes next and sort of the timing of how it works.
You taught a reporter or a weatherman how to play Ode to Joy and you showed us a clip of that. That was amazing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, so we went to CNN to show this off, and just to show how confident we were in it, we put it on Chad Myers, who's a meteorologist at CNN. And Chad admits he has no musical talent. But we put the glove on and programmed Ode to Joy for it. And as he's tracking the hurricane in the Gulf at that time, the system was just tapping his fingers and playing the notes, you know, ding, 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 ding. Wow, that was awful. But he was playing those and tapping his fingers while he was doing all his tracking. And then he comes on live TV. We take off the glove, put his hand on the keyboard, and tell him to go. And indeed, he could actually reproduce Ode to Joy, you know, pretty flawlessly within seconds on live camera.
All right, again, that was from Booth 61 with host Ricky Steele, and that was from a live event at the CEO Council. I don't think the full interview is posted yet, but I'll put a link to it on the podcast version of this show so you can find it if you want to. A really interesting guy, Professor Starner, brilliant guy, and the technology is cool. You know, you put these gloves on and it just taps your fingers and you learn to play music without even thinking about it while you're doing something else, and they've proven it works. It's really cool. On the other hand, it's kind of sad. It's like, that's not a musician. That's not art. That's like just, that's like, I don't know. I just find that really sort of sad and scary and sad.
You sound appalled.
I just, yeah. Like, I mean, the whole point of learning music is to enjoy the music and hear the note and have your ear connect with your hand and not just muscle memory. I don't know. I just find it.
Point.
Yeah. And I, this whole segment, you know, I was sort of talking about this Seth Godin book, and I read an article this week on, I think it was on the Atlanta Business Chronicle website, and it talked about like 7 questions you should never ask when in a job interview. And it was a pretty like innocuous article, but I got so angry reading this article because I was like, you know, Seth Godin on the one hand is saying you don't even need a resume. And then here are these articles, and he's saying basically if you're following a checklist in your job or in your life, or if you're looking for a manual or instructions, you're basically a factory worker. And here's this article that is essentially a list of instructions of what not to do, of how to be like everybody else in a job, freaking fracking job interview. I mean, it's just infuriating. Like, that if you actually walked into a job interview and had the audacity to ask the salary, well, then you're not going to get the job. Are you kidding me? Like, if you aren't fully prepared and haven't studied all about the company, then somehow that means you're not a capable employee. I mean, that's ridiculous. So the fact that, I mean, I wish that the advice was go in there and be your sparkling, wonderful, shiny self and show your capabilities in all your glory. You know, I'm not saying go in there and, you know, dance around the room and act weird, but like at the same time that there's this checklist of behavior, I find it outrageous. It's like what they're saying is these companies want to hire cogs. They want to hire factory workers.
That's true.
They want you to be the same as the 5 desk chairs they just bought. They want 5 new desk chairs that look exactly like this, and they want 5 new butts to put in those seats that look exactly like this. And it just infuriates me. It's just one of those things that I feel is so ripe for change, the hiring system. And people like Seth Godin who have a voice, and I guess I have a little voice here on Week in Review, but people like him who have a voice are putting these ideas out there. I applaud them because companies, as he says, should be looking for makers of art, for creators, for linchpins. And then you read these articles that are still so mainstream telling you how to be a factory worker, and I find it incredibly frustrating. I don't know how we can make change except for maybe one person at a time, one hiring manager at a time, one potential, you know, employee at a time. One of the things he talks about, an example in the book he gives about, is a company that asked each of their prospective employees that they had to come in and do a PowerPoint explaining who they were. I thought that was kind of cool, something different. You have a chance to be creative and do whatever you want to do in that PowerPoint. Those are the kinds of things I'd like to see, not don't ask these 7 questions. Ugh. Infuriating. Okay. On that note, the soapbox will still be out for the next segment, so don't worry.
It's brought out early.
Don't worry. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Online at biz1190.com. It's radio that's right on the money.
J.
Join Tom Busby for DTI Market Buzz, Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190. Tom provides daily insights and analysis on how money is being made and lost in the market.
DTIMarketBuzz.com.
Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
There are three things AARP does not want you to know, but AMAC, the conservative alternative to AARP, believes you absolutely should know. First, AARP was and is actively involved in the fight for gun control. Second, your AARP membership dollars support federally funded abortion. How? Because the third and probably most important thing AARP does not want you to know is, according to the House Ways and Means Committee investigation, they stand to make over $1 billion through increased Medicaid and Medicare supplement royalties as a direct result of Obamacare. And guess what? They've invested over $20 million supporting it. Who are they working for on that deal? You? America? Themselves? There is an alternative. AMAC. The Association of Matured American Citizens. AMAC fights for you, not for their own profits, for America as we know it and love it. And AMAC gives you benefits previously only available through AARP. AMAC is better. Better for you, better for America. Join today. Call 888-262-2006. That's 888-262-2006. Or visit www.amac.us.
They came from every corner of the country, from small towns and big cities. But they all shared one thing in common. They belonged to a family called Marines. A tough and determined few, dedicated to protecting everything we hold sacred. And still, they come. Celebrate the history of those proud few who have earned the title Marine.
From Wall Street to Peachtree, this is Biz 1190.
All right, we are back. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review here on Biz 1190. And you can call us if you want to, 404-231-1190. We will take your call. We will. We might hang up on you, but we'll take it.
No. Don't say that.
Okay, we won't hang up on you, I promise.
We want to hear from you.
That's right.
We might hang up at once you start talking, but much later on, but we want you to at least start.
Yeah, you can call. You can call us. And you might want to in this segment, you know, you might call me a coward for saving this to the very end of the show, but I like to try to stay away from politics and stuff because I just feel like there's enough of that on the air and we don't need to do it here. But it's so hard right now because you can't not talk about what's happening with the government shutdown and all of that. So I'm going to breeze over it a little bit and just say that, first of all, in case you didn't catch it, two of our Georgia congressmen have refused their pay during the government shutdown. That's Republican Paul Bruhn. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, and Democrat John Barrow are not going to accept their, get this people, their $174,000 annual salary. Did you know that's how much congressmen make? Do you know that, Mike Roy?
I do now.
So when will your campaign for congressman be starting?
As soon as the show's over.
So they're not going to accept their pay. So, you know, I think it's sort of a empty gesture because anybody that's making $174,000 a year probably has some savings and can afford to miss a paycheck or two. Whereas these guys who are sweeping out the, you know, the Statue of Liberty or whatever and are living paycheck to paycheck can't. So, you know, okay, I'm glad they're not taking their paycheck, but okay. Meanwhile,
sound effect.
Yeah, that was a very, very high tech sound effect there. Meanwhile, there is a Republican senator named Susan Collins, who is from Maine, who is saying she has a plan to end the shutdown. Her plan is to, and this has been discussed on many occasions, but it's to repeal the medical device tax that was imposed by Obamacare. If you don't know much about that, I encourage you to Google and not headline surf like we all tend to do. But there's a 2.3% excise tax on medical equipment, or medical devices rather, that went into effect at the beginning of this year. So it's already been in effect for almost a year. And the tax is going to raise about $30 billion in revenue over 10 years. And it's part of it, the point of it is to pay for Obamacare. Anyway, she's basically saying, let's repeal that. We'll leave Obamacare alone, but we'll repeal that excise tax. And I've got another strategy for how we can raise this money and pay for things we need to pay for. And her strategy has to do with pension plans. And I'm not going to go all the way into it because it's just going to take too much time and we don't have that much time. So I do encourage you to look at that, because most of what I've seen that's been happening over the last week is a lot of arguing and childishness and he said, she said, and finger pointing, and a lot of, you know, if you watch the Jon Stewart, you know, what do you call it, I guess, diatribe, whatever, about this whole thing, you know, there's a lot of just people stringing words together that don't really mean anything. And the public doesn't even really, I think a lot of the public, we don't even understand what is the problem. What are they complaining about? What is it about Obamacare that they don't like? It's just that it's infringing on our freedom, they say, quote unquote. And on that point, I want to mention, for those of you who, again, mostly are headline surfing, and I understand, that's why we have a show called Week in Review, because you don't have time to read all this stuff, right? Well, did you know that Obamacare is, first of all, it's not actually called Obamacare. It's the Affordable Care Act. And it's actually been a law, people, since 2010. It was passed in 2009 by both the Senate and the Congress, signed by the president. And then since then, I believe that the Republicans have tried to repeal it something like 44 times. It went in front of the Supreme Court, in case you didn't know this, and was deemed constitutional. So it is a law that was put into place completely legitimately. And there it is. Okay, I just want to point that out. I'm not going to take a side, but just so you know, this is sort of the background, okay? And I did say last week that, and I am true to my word, that I would, because I am sort of one of the people that this Affordable Care Act is aimed at. I'm self-employed, and I can't get health insurance through a company, and I actually have a pre-existing condition. And so I said I would go to the healthcare exchanges this week and see what the deal was. For anybody who watches the news on a regular basis, you know that the website, the healthcare.gov website, is just not working. Well, I tried it and it's just not working, which is really freaking annoying. Like, I think I'm still holding out hope that there are going to be more affordable plans on there that I can actually use that will save me money and give me options, right? Because one of the problems I have now with having a pre-existing condition is I'm stuck. Without Affordable Care Act, I'm stuck with my insurer and they can raise my rates and do whatever they want because I can't go anywhere else. So for me, you know, that aspect of the Affordable Care Act, I am 100% for, because that means somebody like me will have some choice, right? But I went to healthcare.gov and I got this message. We have a lot of visitors on the site right now. Please stay on this page. And then it kept refreshing. And I thought, okay, well, at least they're handling it, right? Okay, fine. And then eventually it said, okay, go. So I clicked the button and I started typing in my name and address, and it asked me for a user ID and a password and some security questions, which we are going to do a whole soapbox one week about security questions, because those things drive me freaking crazy.
Oh, I can't wait for that, because I may have to join in on your soapbox.
For real. But anyway, so I go through all that and I hit, you know, the submit or whatever, you know, next, whatever the button said, and it said, no, fail, system cannot save your, so I tried again, typed all my stuff in, no, fail. So here's another problem I have. Why do systems do that? They get to far enough that they'll let you type something in, and then, so really, you're going to waste my time through two screens of answering stupid questions about my first pet and what, you know, is my favorite flavor of ice cream, which might change by the time I need to answer this freaking security question, and then you're going to tell me fail? Sorry, fail? Oh my God, you got to be kidding me. All right. That was just like a little side soapbox. And we only have like 3 or 4 minutes left, but I gotta talk about health care in general, and not Obamacare, not the Affordable Care Act, but just the whole situation with doctor's offices and hospitals. And everybody who's gone into a doctor's office or a hospital has been frustrated, I'm sure, by the number of forms you have to fill out. They hand you a stack of papers, right, when you go into a doctor's office, and seven of them, like, let's say they hand you 10 pieces of paper to fill out. First of all, that's too many. Way too many. And I understand that they have regulations and there are things that they have to do legally, and that's great. I get it. But every single one of them has your name, address, phone number, email address, social security number repeated, and you have to handwrite that seven times every time you walk into the doctor's office. I mean, are you kidding me? Can we not? Let's have a computerized form where I can type that once and not 1,700 million times. I mean, it's incredibly annoying. And then the medical billing. So, you know, again, I don't mean to beat a dead horse, but everybody who listens to the show knows that I had cancer this year and I'm fine, and thank you all for your concern. But you cannot imagine the amount of paperwork that cancer causes in terms of medical billing. That literally, I pay, go to my Facebook page, shameless self-plug, which is facebook.com/...
You never do any of those.
Right, facebook.com/thedanabarrett. I posted a picture, literally, of all of the papers, the stack of papers that were just what I got from my insurance company, not even the doctor's offices, regarding one little tiny, teeny tiny cancer that was probably smaller than my fingernail, right? And the stack of papers is just unbelievable. And all the people that responded on my Facebook page, and please go comment there because I really would love to hear everyone's story. Everyone said the same thing. Oh, I had the same thing when my husband had, you know, I had the same thing when my father was sick. Everybody has dealt with this. And this is why this bothers me. And again, I understand that there are legal regulations, et cetera. I get it. But if this was any other industry, if it was any other kind of business, we would not work with them. We would not buy their products. We would not buy their services. We would not engage. It's ridiculous that they can just do whatever they want. And as patients, like, that's the thing. We're not customers, we're patients. And as patients, we are stuck with whatever nonsense they want to give us. I got one of my bills printed out this week from a doctor's office and I couldn't read it. And I'm a relatively smart individual and I couldn't understand this bill. So how do they expect somebody who maybe is not as intelligent to get, this stuff is impossible to understand. And, you know, so I don't even know that the Obamacare stuff, the Affordable Care Act, does anything to help that. But to me, that industry needs so much reform. I mean, forget the prices of things, which is ridiculous that nothing has a price. Forget that. Just the paperwork alone is enough to, you know, like, if the cancer won't kill you, the paperwork will. It's truly amazing that this is where the situation that we are stuck with in this modern technical, you know, we can put a glove on that'll teach you how to play the piano without listening to the music, yet we cannot have a medical bill that is readable. It's truly, truly amazing to me. I would really love to hear your comments. Of course, we're out of time. You can tell by our jazzy music. So tweet me at Dana H. Barrett, or go to my Facebook page. I would love to hear your comments. And again, the Facebook page, Facebook.com/TheDanaBarrett. Tune in next week to all the great programming on BusinessRadioX.com, and we will see you next Sunday for Week in Review. Have a great week. Make lots of money.